The subject of our class today is the bracha, the request in Shemona Esrei, known as Shema Kolenu, the first two words, hear our voice. It's a request that HaKadosh Baruch Hu return to us the Beis HaMikdash, which is Beis Tefillah. And in the confines of that place, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised that he will, in a sense, be closer, which means our tefillos will be more accepted, that we will recognize Hashem's presence more. Hashem obviously doesn't change place and is not more in one place than in another. He's not a gas or a solid that you can, you know, compact it more here and less there. But that we feel that Hashem's presence is near to us. And in this place of tefillah, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shomea tefillah, please hear our prayers. The request is stated in terms of Shema Kolenu, hear our voice. Whereas a kol is not necessarily the same thing as particular words. We don't say hear our dibros, the words we're speaking, but rather the kol, our general voice. Voice is more of a inarticulate sound, the voice of a person. Very often the same words can be spoken in different tones and with different inflections and convey completely different messages. And so we're asking Kadosh Baruch Hu not just to hear the actual words, which we repeat daily three times, the same words over and over again, but the tone behind the words. Remember this little story that my grandfather Rav Schwab talks, mentions, where a man is very upset because he receives a telegram from his son. And he reads the telegram and it says, Father, send money. He goes to the Rav asking how he should deal with this. He's angry, doesn't want to take care of send the money to his child. He feels it's disrespectful and it's insolent. And the Rav says, let me see this telegram. So he looks at it, he says, no, you didn't read it correctly. It says, Father, send me money. And then when the father heard the pleading tone of his son's voice, he of course ran to help him. In any case, this is the voice. But now to get more philosophical. Everything we have here in this world, from our physical construction, in other words, the apparatus of our physical body, how it works, how what it looks like, and matter all around us and how the world works, we have learned, it's a concept that is philosophical, slightly mystical, that everything is a mashal to teach us something about the emes, about ultimate truth. And when we say hear our voice, so the very fact that we have an ability to cry out in an inarticulate way, to have a voice, a tone of voice, is a mashal to help us understand something about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem also has a kol, and it's not the same as a dibur, as his actual words. When we understand what the kol of Hashem is, we'll understand what our kol, our voice is. We'll understand kol Yaakov. We'll understand many times the Torah's distinction, where a distinction is made between a voice and words. A sound of a voice and actual words. And so what we're going to do now is digress a moment, because it's right after Shavuos, and look into the Rambam, who is addressing the question of what they heard at Har Sinai, what the Jewish people surrounding the mountain actually experienced and what they heard. And he will point out that the Torah is careful to indicate that they heard a kol. So I want to read to you now from the Mor Nevuchim, chapter 32. It's in the second section of the Mora, chapter 33, And carefully go through the Rambam's analysis of what was experienced at Har Sinai to help us understand what the concept of kol, a voice, means to us in a sophisticated, scholarly way. You know, the Torah doesn't generally take poetic license. Every word is significant, and when the Torah distinguishes between one word and the other, there is a purpose. So here is the Rambam in the Mora. Maimonides in the Guide to the Perplexed. It is clear to me that at the gathering of Har Sinai, not everything that reached Moshe also reached all of the Jewish people. In other words, they experience different things at Har Sinai. Speech, words, what he means words, was addressed to Moshe alone. For this reason, the whole Aseres Hadibros, the second person singular, is used. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. To indicate to us, for all generations, that Moshe heard the words of Hashem, and this is implied by Hashem using that tone and that the second person singular. I am Hashem, your God. Okay, it doesn't mean we are not included in that. In that understanding that Hashem is our God, because Moshe taught us that that applies to us, that that is actually a law that applies to us. But for us to understand that Moshe heard the words, it is spoken in the second person singular. And he, peace be on him, went to the foot of the mountain and communicated to the people what he had heard. The text of the Torah reads, and now he quotes a pasuk from Devarim Perek, Hey, Pasuk Hey, and the Pasuk in Hebrew is the following: Anochi Omed Ben Hashem Ubeinechem. I was standing between God and between you. Be'esahi, at that time, Lahagid Lachem Estavar Hashem. I told you the Dibur, the words of Hashem. Ki Yareisem Ipnei Ha'esh, because you were terrified of the great fire. V'lo Alisem Bahar, and you did not go up the mountain as Moshe did. Lemor saying, and then he goes into Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So this is Rambam's proof text that Moshe conveyed the Dibur to the people. It also says, and here he quotes from Shmos, Yud Tes, Moshe Yidaber, Moshe would speak, and God would answer him with a kol, Hashem Moshe Yidaber. Let's find that pasuk, Yud Tes in Shmos. Vayhi kol hashofar holech v'chazak ma'od. The shofar was getting stronger and stronger. Moshe yedaber. Moshe would speak to the people with dibor words. Ve'elokim ya'anenu bakol. And God would amplify it. Or it doesn't mean answer as in question and answer, but would respond to the Moshe speech by amplifying it, by creating an experience which was a kol, a voice. But it was Moshe who was speaking to Klal Yisrael, the Dibros, okay? And it is explicitly stated in the Mechilta that he repeated to them each and every commandment as he heard it. Again, a text of the Torah reads, and this is a pasuk from Shmos, Yud Tes, Ba'avur Yishma Ha'am Bedabri Imach. Hashem had said to Moshe, come up to the mountain, so that, Vayomar Hashem al Moshe, Hine Anochi Ba Elecha Ba'av Anan, I am going to come to you in the cloud. Ba'avur Yishma Ha'am Bedabri Imach, so that they will hear me speak to you, in other words, overhear me speak to you. But I am coming only to Moshe, he's not coming to Klal Yisrael. Vegam Bachay Aminu La'olam, and then they will trust you forever. So he uses this again as a proof text that Hashem spoke to Moshe. Moshe conveyed the Dibur to Klal Yisrael, but it was Moshe who gave them Dibur, the actual words, and Hashem created a kol to go along with this experience, a voice. This is a proof and that it is he who was spoken to, and that they heard the great voice, but not the articulations of speech. This becomes very significant in understanding these two phases or two elements of this experience of Mamad Har Sinai. The kol, which they heard, and the dibur, which Moshe heard and conveyed to them. About hearing this great voice, it says, when ye heard the voice. Now, this is a pasuk from Devarim, Hey, pasuk 20, and the pasuk is, Vayehi kisham shamachem es hakol mitoch hachoshach. When you heard the kol, not the dibur, mitoch hachoshach. From the darkness, you heard a kol, some type of voice. Mitoch hachoshach. Okay. And it also says, you heard the voice of words, but you saw no figure, only a voice. And that comes from Perek Dalid, Pasuk Yud Beis. The actual Hebrew is, Veidaber Hashem Alechem Mitoch HaEsh. Now it says Hashem spoke Dibor, but then it says, Kol Dvarim Atem Shomim, the voice of the words you have heard, Utmuna Einchem Roim, you didn't see any image or picture or any type of vision, Zulasi Kol, strictly and only a kol, a voice. So you heard a voice of the words, but you only heard a voice. The Torah is very clear to entail us that Klal Yisrael heard a voice, but Hashem spoke Dibor to Moshe. It does not say you heard the words. Rambam clarifies, only the voice. Thus, every time when their hearing words is mentioned, it is their hearing the voice that is meant. Okay? Moshe being the one who heard words and reported them to the Jewish people. This is the external, which means the obvious meaning of the text of the Torah, and most of the dicta of the sages, may their memory be blessed. However, now he brings an opinion, and we need to harmonize these two opinions. However, they also have a dictum formulated in several passages of the Midrashim and also figuring in the Talmud, and this is their dictum. They heard Anochi, the first Dibra, and Lo Yielecha, you shall not have, from Mipi HaGavura. This is a famous quote brought down in many places here. Brought down, he quotes from Gemar Makkos and Medrash Anshir Hashirim, that they have said, and we've all learned this many times, that they heard Anochi and Lo Yielecha. They actually heard those words, Mipi HaGavura, from the mouth, so to speak, of the powerful one. So we have a question. How could this Medrash say, make such a statement if the Torah itself says you didn't hear words? You heard a call. The Medrash says they heard Anochi and Lo Yielecha. This is a problem. The Medrash knows the Psukim. The Psukim says you didn't hear words. Only Moshe heard words, right? So Rambam is now trying to explain what they mean when they said that they heard Anochi and Lo Yielecha. Okay? They mean that these words reached them just as they reached Moses, our master, and that it was not Moses, our master, who communicated them to them, which means Moshe did not have to come down and speak words and say what you just heard, that kol means Anocha Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yielecha. Moshe didn't have to do that. When they heard it and they knew what it meant, without at the same time hearing actual words. Okay. For these two principles, I mean the existence of the deity and his being one, are knowable by human speculation alone, which means it's enough for them. In other words, what he's saying is it's enough for them to hear a call, a voice, and to know that means that there's only one God and that I am him. That was clearly, it did not have to be explained. When they heard a call, which the voice, the sound that told them there was only one creator and one master, they didn't have to then be explained, oh, this means there's only one God. That experience was so awe-inspiring and overwhelming, and the clarity of the truth that they are now hearing the creator of the universe hit them with such obvious knowledge that, okay, that it was Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So he says it's possible that you arrive at this by human speculation alone, which explains a very important fact. We say that there are commandments, but where is the command in Anochi Hashem Elokecha? It's not written in the language of a command, like Lo Tirzach, Lo Sinaf, Lo Signov. It just says a statement, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzitzicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. The answer is that statement, I am God, in means, therefore you must serve me. You can't know that there is a God absolutely, positively, and experience it, and then decide that you're not serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or act as if you have options, or that you don't will, maybe I will, maybe I won't. Knowing that there is Hashem, which Hashem made known to them, immediately assures and necessitates that you then defer and submit. There's no other option for a human being. So it is a tzivoy. Implicitly, it's a tzivoy. And I think what Rambam is saying here is, what seems to be saying, not I think, but what seems to be Rambam saying, how it's learned, is that by hearing a call, they understood Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yielecha. There was no other way to read what they had just experienced. So Moshe didn't have to tell them with Dibor what that's the implications of what they just experienced. Now, with regard to everything that can be known by demonstration, the status of the prophet and that of everyone else who knows it are equal, which means they both heard it and both arrived at the same conclusion. Okay? There is no superiority of one over the other. Thus, these two principles are not known through prophecy alone, which means once there was a revelation, you didn't need prophecy to tell you what that meant, that revelation. It was obvious. It doesn't need prophecy to deduce the conclusion of what that revelation means to me. Okay, it became an obvious, you know, the brain is set up to understand the implications of the revelation of Hashem. The text of the Torah says, unto thee it was shown, and it gives another proof text that it was Atah HaResa LaDas, you were seeing it, so you immediately have Das. Atah HaResa, you saw it, so you have Das. What do you have Das? Hashem Hu Elokim, Mishamayim, Mima'al, Aretz Mitachos Ve'ein Od. No one had to teach it to you after you were your eyes were opened. It became instantly. Now, you know what Das is. Atah HaResa LaDas. Das is not objective information. Das is so completely integrated into what you think that it's how you feel, it's how you respond. It's not. It's absolute, complete, integrated knowledge that becomes self. Okay? As for the other commandments, they belong to the class of generally accepted opinions. In other words, everything else, he says, is communicated via Nevuah, through Moshe heard the Dibur, and repeated it to them. Okay, now, taking into consideration whatever else they have said about this, the text and the dicta of the sages permit considering as admissible, okay, now he's going to say there's really no contradiction, that all Israel only heard at the gathering one voice one single time, the voice through which Moshe and all Israel apprehended Anochi and Lo Yelcha, which commandments Moshe made them hear again as spoken in his own speech with an articulation of the letters that were heard. So they all heard Anochi that the same way, and then Moshe continued with everything else through his words, which he heard, to communicate again to them. And he brings a proof text here, the Chazal say, quoting in support of this assertion, the dictum, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this. So Hashem spoke once, and then Moshe heard the kol, and then Moshe communicated the dibur, though he communicated the dibur as it's written in the Torah, so we know what that kol said. But they knew that without Moshe communicating that dibur. Okay? But we want to know what the kol said, and Moshe said, this kol means Anoch Hashem Lekecha, Lo Yelecha, I wrote it as part of Seres HaDibros. But they understood that. They were on the same level of him regarding that. Okay. And they made it clear at the beginning of Midrash Chazit that they had not heard another voice coming from him, may he be exalted. And then he goes on here to give another proof text. Now, here's the sequence of events. It was after they had heard the first voice, this great call, that they, as is mentioned, were terrified of the thing and felt a great fear, and that they, as is reported, said to then Moshe, you go, we're going to die, you go, and you hear, and you come back and you tell us what Hashem is communicating this. Because that one experience was too much for them. Pircha Nishmasam, which we'll talk about, their souls departed from them. They couldn't survive the experience, and they said, that's enough. Moshe, you tell us the rest. Okay? Thereupon he, who is greater than everyone born to man, went forward for a second time, received the rest of the commandments, one after the other, descended to the foot of the mountain, and made them hear these commandments in the midst of the great gathering. Meanwhile, they were seeing the fires and hearing the voices. I mean now those voices that are said to be voices and lightning, like thunder, and the loud voice of the trumpet. All that you find mentioned about hearing many voices, as the Pasuk says, and all the people, Vayura, Sakolos, they heard the voices, refers now only to the trumpet. The call that they heard from Hashem was once and once only, and every time else the Torah says that they heard Kolos, that's already the physical phenomenon that were accompanying the experience of Har Sinai. Okay? Now listen to this. As for the voice of the Lord, I mean the created voice from which the speech of God was understood, they heard it only once according what the text of the Torah states and according to what the sages make clear in the passage which I drew your attention. This was the voice on hearing which their souls went out of them and through which the first two commandments were apprehended. Now he goes very deep and he brings an unculus which is striking, shocking, and totally counterintuitive. He says that when they heard this voice and they concluded that this means Anochi Hashem Elokecha Lo Yelecha, and the rest, and they did not hear the actual words, they didn't even need to hear the actual words, okay? And then Moshe went and said, this is what you just heard, okay, and established it. This voice that they heard, which made them know Anochi Hashem Elokecha, was a created phenomenon for that moment to shock them, to open their eyes, to give them an awareness that otherwise they could not have known. And the way they experienced this was in that their souls left them. And he says, regarding that call, although they heard what Moshe heard, their rank was not equal to the rank of Moses, our master. So he goes to an unculus, which he explains that every time unculus needs to translate Vayidaber Hashem im Moshe, or Yidaber Hashem l'Moshe, or El Moshe, okay? Unculus translates Umalel, Umalel, and Hashem spoke to Moshe, Umalel. When, let me read you a Pasuk Perek Chaf, Pasuk Aleph in Shemos, Vidaber Elokim Eskol Hadvarim Ha'ela Leimor, Umalel Hashem, Hashem spoke directly. What did he speak? Anoch Hashem Lekecha Lo Yelecha. However, on the other hand, the words of Israel to Moses, where they said, let not God speak with us, Unculus translates a completely different thing. Unculus says, in Perikhov Pasuk Tezayin, Vayomer El Moshe, Daber Ata Imanu, V'nishma, you speak to us and let us hear, Va'al Yedaber Imanu Elokim, and let not God speak to us. Now you would think from the Pshat that as Hashem spoke to Moshe in that first call, Moshe apprehended Anochi and Blo Yelecha, so too Klal Yisrael, as Rambam is saying in the beginning, apprehended the same thing. Lo Hashem, Anochi and Lo Yelecha. But Unculus doesn't translate Hashem speaking to Moshe and Hashem speaking to the Jewish people the same way. When it comes to Al Yedaber Imanu Elokim, let God not speak to us, Unculus says the following. Unculus says, for Amlu L'Moshe, V'la Yismalel Imana Min Kadam Hashem. Lo Yismalel. Yismalel is already that it should be done to us, a sort of passivity. Let us not be spoken to. Not that let Hashem not speak to us. Let us not be spoken to. And it doesn't say Hashem. Min Kadam Hashem. From before God. Something that is, in a sense, before Hashem. We should not be spoken to from the power which is before Hashem. That's like that's creating a lot of steps between Hashem and the people. Regarding Moshe, it says, Umilel Hashem l'Moshe. God spoke to Moshe, end of story. Here it's, we should not be spoken to from the power before Hashem. So Unculus is telling you that when they heard a call, and they understood that this is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which itself implied a commandment to serve him, and they didn't have to be explained this. Still, that experience, Unculus tells us, was an experience that in it was a distance between them and Hashem. It was a created experience that Hashem has put into play at that moment so that they can experience that Hashem is the only God, but it wasn't a direct speech of Hashem to them. Whereas to Moshe, it was direct. So even in that call, they heard a much more kind of, a much more kind of removed experience than Moshe. So now the question is that what happened at Har Sinai? Two things happened. From Hashem, they experienced his presence and his existence, which is called kol. Kol Hashem means I am here. I am everything. I am everything in the world is an expression of my will. That's what kol. They heard a kol, and we know it was silent. Then there was thunders and lightnings. We understand that that voice, whatever it was that they heard, was clear to them that God is communicating. But it was an experience that was removed from God by a number of steps, according to Unculus. But the dibur, that Moshe heard, the tzivuyim that he came and repeated to them. In other words, the mitzvahs of the Torah, not God's existence, but the Ritzon Hashem, what God wants in specific mitzvahs, was directly communicated to Moshe and directly repeated to Klal Yisrael. So, which one is a closer connection to Hashem? The revelation of the call, which their souls fled them, or the words of Torah and the mitzvos that Moshe communicated to them? Which one gives them a closer, more direct path to Hashem?
The voice.
The words of the Torah, because the words of the Torah are Milel Hashem im Moshe. God spoke to Moshe, and Moshe repeated what he heard, straight back to God. But the voice, the experience was Hashem should communicate to us, the power from before, Hashem should speak to us, it should happen to us. Unkelz is telling you, wasn't a direct experience from Hashem. In other words, what Rambam is trying to say here, which is shocking, that the two experiences of Mamad Har Sinai, one was the revelation of God, Giloy Shechina, one was giving Torah, mitzvahs. Which one is a closer and a more direct link that links human beings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Torah and the mitzvos that they heard from Moshe, which were directly from the words of God straight to Moshe to them, is actually developing in them a closer connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the one-time kol, which Rambam says one time and one time only, and never repeated in history. A one-time experience which made them aware that there's only one God. Interesting. More than that. What does it mean, pircha nishmasam, that their neshamas fled them? Clearly, when you see that ein od milvado, there's nothing but Hashem, and all of this exists strictly by the will of Hashem, then the ani disappears. Who am I? What am I? Am I really an independent entity that can choose to do what, follow God's will or not follow God's will? That whole illusion evaporates instantly, and a person loses ani. What is ani? The anochi totally dissolves the ani. Right? The anochi Hashem Elokecha dissolves the sense of ani. That's pircha nishmasam. Their souls fled them. There was no more ani. They were simply, they understood with absolute clarity that they are strictly an extension of the Ritzon Hashem, and there really is no choice. And this illusion that we have choice is only because of what we've spoken about in the past. Kadosh Baruch Hu sets up a tardema, the sleep, remember this Hester Panim, to give us the illusion that there's a pirud, a separation. Also that we, of our own free choice, will come back and reunite with Hashem at like they did at our Sinai, recognizing there's nothing, ein od milvado. This is all a joke. It's all an illusion. That's why their souls fled them. That experience of the Giloy Shechina was how HaKadosh Baruch Hu established forever that He is God, but the giving of the actual words of Torah and mitzvahs to Moshe, communicated exactly as Moshe heard them to Klal Yisrael, is a stronger, more constant, more direct link to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It seems to me, but I might be wrong, nobody said this, that the reason they could sin by the Egel after seeing the Giloy Shechina of Har Sinai, as we said, the Giloy Shechina, as Unkelus explains, is a number of steps removed. It's not a direct communication to them as were the actual words of Torah. It was an experience that wasn't God. It was a created moment for the purpose of shocking them and totally overwhelming them, which worked. A created experience, not the Ritzon Hashem, not the words of Hashem, and not the essence of Hashem. That's the Torah. So they didn't yet have Torah integrated in them and all the mitzvahs and all the thinking by the Egel. They just had the experience. And guess what? It could be the experience of the Giloy Shechina is a weaker link to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the Torah and the mitzvos, which are the direct, teaches us directly about the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, sometimes, like in the beginning, the birth of the infancy of our nation, it's the Giloy Shechina that then necessitates or actually creates an obvious extension into the mitzvos. There's a Giloy Shechina, and then you say, fine, then what should I do? If I'm nothing and you're Hashem, it's just, how do I express my Hashem's will, let me be a conduit, and then the Torah follows from the Giloy Shechina.
How do you connect But
it could also be that through learning Torah, we don't have a Gilui Shechina. We didn't experience it. So how do we get to that recognition of God in total bitul, self-negation? Through learning Torah, we connect directly and come to know the Ratzon Hashem, which leads us to that same place of bitul, of self-nullification, recognizing that Ein Od Milvado. It could also go backwards. Now, the Gilui did not stay with us through the Doros, but the Torah and the Mitzvos did stay with us through the Doros. However, don't forget when we say Shema, that Shema Yisrael is a reiteration of the first two Dibros, and we're supposed to remind ourselves each day when we're Makabel, like Kabbalah Satorah, we're Makabel again, every day with Shema, Shema Yisrael, you know this idea, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Elokeinu corresponds to Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Hashem Echad corresponds to Lo Yelecha. So every single day, when we say Shema, we are reiterating the experience of hearing that call, Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yelecha, which therefore creates an obvious extension into accepting the mitzvahs, which is V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha and doing all V'hayim Shamoa, all the mitzvahs. That's the progression. Why are we connecting this to tefillah? How are we connecting this to tefillah? We ask Hashem Shema Kolenu. It's the same concept. It's an extension. When Hashem let them hear a call, He was saying, "I am God. I exist. I am everything. Ein od milvadu. There's nothing but Hashem." That's what the call told them. Anochi and lo yelecha. There's nothing else. I am here. I exist. That clarity then creates a continuum. When we daven, we say words. We ask for this and we ask for that. Okay? On behalf of ourselves, on behalf of our nation. We ask for things, we thank Hashem, we praise Hashem. But in addition to the words we say, there is a kol, Shema Kolenu, which means we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I exist here, I am here. It's a visceral statement of I exist here because Hashem has put us here, and my very existence calls out to you. My needs change, I understand more, I understand less, I can bring kavod to Hashem more, I can bring kavod to Hashem less, and my abilities grow, etc. But there's an essence of I am here. I am here speaking to you with my total being. Here I am expressing my dependence and my desire to that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should know that I'm here. Now, of course, Hashem knows I'm here, but when we say know that I'm here, we're meaning have there's a connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and without words and without requests about particular needs of ours, we are saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hear my essence, the essence of my existence, that I exist as a human and I reach out to my source, my creator, who knows me best and who can give me what I need, who can determine, who understands why I've been created. I am here. It is the Ani. That's tefillah. Just like at Matan Torah, the Ani evaporated when Hashem spoke to us, so to speak, in this voice. When we speak back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say, we have an Ani, but the Ani is batal. It's just nullified before your will. And so fill me up, fill up my Ani with whatever you want. You are the ultimate, you decide what I need. That's why we are makabel. If we ask for something and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give it to us, that's also an answer and we're makabel. Al teshivenu reikam, don't send us back empty-handed, we said means. You might not say yes to what we think we need, but fill us with emunah and bitachon and avas Hashem. Don't let us be empty. Fill us with those experiences, which is the essence of ani. I, your creation. That we should have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with or without the particular things we think we need. And, you know. So the kol, Shema Kolenu, is the essence, the deepest, most internalized, visceral expression of here I am, an expression of your ratzon, at your service, totally mevatel, and do with me what you wish, and let me rise up to the occasion to use whatever you give me, or every opportunity, every experience, as a way of bringing kavod to Hashem. That's the coal. And so we've learned here that, and this is very important, by the way, some people think, especially trying to prove to those that don't necessarily believe that Har Sinai took place, and they'll say things like, well, all of the Jewish people saw God. We didn't see God. According to the Rambam, we didn't even hear the words of God. This was Moshe. We trust Moshe that he conveyed them correctly. We had an experience called a kol, the voice of Hashem. And that made us aware of everything and made us ready to be makabel, the mitzvos, through Moshe, and to know that ultimately the closest direction to our Kadosh Baruch Hu is through the mitzvahs that we do. And that's why some people say, you know, I would believe in God if he would do a miracle for me and reveal himself. If he picked up this microphone, flew it around the room 3 times and put it down, then I'd believe in God. This is not our approach. Learn Torah for sincerely. Do the mitzvahs as an attempt to bond with God. This will bring you to a trust and a knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, an understanding of the essence of Hashem, and ultimately give you great simcha and great tanug, an overwhelming satisfaction that will overwhelm all other things in life. And that's how you will know Hashem. Very scholarly approach. In other words, an approach that demands learning and knowledge as opposed to some emotional, mystical experience. You know, we're not into miracles as a source of our faith. And yes.
I don't understand when you say no, Hashem. I talk to Hashem all the time.
But no one, we don't know.
He's contacting me. I never think I know him, though.
Understand the essence of Hashem wants us. No one can know Hashem.
Right.
Means what Hashem wants from us. To feel love of Hashem. You can't love something that you feel is so remote and so unknown. So the mitzvahs give us a sense of trying to, a little bit, we can never know the nature of God, but feel connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, feel the love of Hashem.
At the level he comes to me, yes, I connect with him, but I don't really know God.
No one knows Hashem.
So you aren't saying that.
Not to know God, no, we don't know Hashem. We can have a little bit of experience of the truth of Hashem's existence and the truth of the mitzvos and the perfection of the mitzvos.
Right. Right.
That type of knowing.
About everything. You look at your words a month later, you say, oh, that's why.
Right, right.
And I wouldn't know it.
Right. Any questions? Okay.